Thank you so much for that, Joe. That was such a blessing, I think, in relation to 1 Peter. And I just think I wasn't going to say this, but I was writing a reply to Peter, which I thought I'd read this morning as the message. And in my reply to Peter, I had stuff about us not being persecuted, and saying I think perhaps if you were here, you might be saying that we should be praying more and doing more for those who are suffering persecution. I completely changed and what I'm doing, and the Lord didn't let that go, did he? I love it. I think that's fantastic, and thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. And this morning we're finishing 1 Peter under the heading which has been with us right the way through, which is Living Stones. Living Stones. Now, I'm going to ask, who's watched any part of the television programme, Who Do You Think You Are? Anybody watch that? No, ever. Okay, so there's quite a few nods and a few hands going up, and some people are looking pretty blank. I've watched one or two of those programs myself, and I think it can be quite fascinating. Anyway, knowledge about our family heritage, I think it's pretty evident, can and does affect the way that people see themselves. Okay? I think it's especially true of those with privileged backgrounds. You know, Ian Hislop is really good at this. He really shows up, and people who've got into powerful positions purely because they went to Eton and Oxford and come from wealthy families. And actually, he's written a play which is on at the Watermill at the moment, on this very subject. He has some really biting things to say, because he's saying, you know, there's lots of other people who would probably do a better job, but these people, they really think there's something just because they have privilege, wealth, and so on. In a very small way, I personally experienced the effect of this during COVID, when I was put in touch with a second cousin who I'd never heard of before. But I was put in touch by somebody who was doing some tracking on his family stuff. And I found that this second cousin was absolutely obsessed with tracing family. And when I was in touch with her, I was able to say, can you find out about the Howes Inn or whatever, or do you know anything about it? And she did the work, like, overnight, and sent me back results. And we met up just before Christmas with some other cousins. Fascinating. So through her, I've discovered quite a lot about my family over the past 200 years or so. And it does have some influence on the way that I see myself. Not massive, but just a little. Who's looked into their own family heritage? Yeah, okay, again, quite a few people. Now, the point about this is that as Peter sits down to write his letter to the persecuted believers who are scattered across what we now call Turkey, he wants to encourage them. He wants to build their inner strength as believers. He wants to inspire them to be Christ-like in their current situations, despite the bitter reality of their situation. You know, they're migrants. They've fled their homes. And they've suffered persecution. separated from loved ones and past communities. It's really, really, really tough for them. And he sends a message to them, which I do believe is really relevant to all of us as believers. It's relevant for believers in all places and at all times and whatever their circumstances. So I'm saying it is actually just as relevant, this message, this simple message, it's as relevant to us in all of our circumstances as it was to those who he was writing to here. And I do strongly believe that it is God's word for us today. I want us to hear it loud and clear, and so I just want to try and stick to this point. I'm not going to say that it might mean that I'm briefer than normal. I'm not going to say that in case it goes wrong. But this is how I think it can be summed up. I think this is what Peter is saying right through his letter in everything that he says. Know who you are. Know who you are and live up to it. Know who you are and live up to it. And I think if we get this message from this little letter of Peter, it'll be a really, really, really great thing. That's all I want us to go away with this morning. So I'm going to use some of the things that Peter says, quite simply. I'm not going to make a lot of comments on them, I hope. So you need to be open to hearing God speaking to you through Peter, through me, this morning, as he is saying, know who you are. Live up to it. Chapter 1, verse 1. To God's elect, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. That's who you are, and there's a little to be obedient to Jesus Christ. But I'm reading that verse because it says who we are if we are believers in Jesus Christ. Wow, it is amazing. It doesn't really sink in. I don't know that how much we get hold of the reality of it, sort of existentially in our hearts. I'm going to read it again. To God's elect, who've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ. This sort of communal one God. Wow. And that's for all of those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ and given their life to him. Just let it sink in. And then verse 3, who you are. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That's another wow. And that's, again, for all who've put their trust in and given their life to Jesus Christ. If you're here and you haven't put your trust in Jesus Christ and haven't given your life to him, then you can do that at any time. It's very simple. It is just an act of trust, of acknowledging the truth of the coming of God in the Word of God, in Jesus, and giving his life so that we can live, and then rising from the dead. And if we've done that, then we can say, in his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That's Peter's summary in his introduction. He goes straight into it about who these guys are, who we are, who you are, who I am. And so secondly, live up to it. Live up to it. Verse 13. Therefore, set your hope on the grace, the sort of free gift, the generosity of God to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written in the Hebrew Scriptures, our Old Testament, be holy because I am holy. Be different. Be set apart. Be like Christ. Show yourselves as children of God. And he says, love one another deeply from the heart. Love one another deeply from the heart, as you would do if you're in family. And I want us to note at this point that this message, know who you are and live up to it, it comes to us simultaneously as individuals. It's for you and 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 me. As individuals, we are born as individuals. And Peter uses that image, that picture. We can only be born as individuals. And we have an individual relationship with God as Father. But simultaneously, it is about community. It is about being in the family. It is about oneness. And we need to watch out for unhealthy balance in this. And it sort of happens periodically in church life. You know, note the songs that we sing and how many of them are I, me, I, me, I, me. And how many of them are we. It matters, I think, to God. It isn't all about me. It's about us. And if we know who we are and we live up to it, we know that it isn't only about me. It's about us. And so in chapter 2, verse 2, Peter says, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up. Now, this is the first of a series of pictures that Peter gives us in order to tell us who we are and live up to it. And he's already, in the opening, we've read this idea of being born, and he's repeating it. And this is one of the pictures that he uses. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up. The emphasis here is that we are children of God. That's who we are. And if we're going to live up to it, we will be being nourished on spiritual food so that we grow and don't stay babies forever, but we become men and women of God. And we do this as individuals on our own, and we do it in community with others. We can't just rely on everybody else to feed us, though we get a lot from coming together and being fed. But we can't just rely on ourselves either. And I mean, I include in that looking at stuff on the internet or reading on our own. We need the physical contact that we get from being with each other, because we are community of God's people, as well as individuals. And then he says, and this is the next picture, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So there are two pictures here. The first is the one that we've taken as the title for the series, and as I'm using for the title for today, living stones. You are living stones. That's us as individuals. But those stones are being built into a spiritual house. That is us as community. I'm a living stone. You're a living stone as individuals. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, as Paul puts it. That's what happens as a result of us coming together as community. But there's a second picture in this verse, and it's the picture of priesthood. And this is so important. And it's what Joe's been sharing with us just so vividly. You are a priest. And together we are a priesthood. It is so very, very important to God. A priest is somebody who intercedes, who stands in between God and others. And we have responsibility, this is what we have to live up to offer spiritual sacrifices, not physical sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices, the worship of our song, the words that we speak to each other. But we are the only way in which those outside of the believing community has contact with God. And we have a responsibility in our world because we are priests. We are God's priesthood on the world. We have responsibility for showing people what God is like. That's the living up to it bit. And we have responsibility for interceding for them. And that's what Joe has been sharing this morning, so vividly, so appropriately. It is a God-given responsibility that we recognize our responsibility as priests in relation to our neighbours, the people at work, and people in other countries, that we bear them on our hearts and pray for them. We are priests. Let's live up to it. We are a priesthood. Let's live up to it. Let's not just get stuck on me and us, but let's think of them as well and look to bring them in so that they become one of us. And then chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. Listen to this little list. You are a chosen people. Oh, well, is that really true? Does God really choose us? Yes, the emphasis that I like to give when I think about this big thing of predestination, which I suppose this is talking about, is not that it makes us special or different to everybody else, in the sense that, you know, somehow God has chosen us and not them. But he's chosen us to fulfill his purpose. There is always a reason for God's choosing. We are chosen. We need to live up to it. We are chosen for a purpose. How well are we doing with the purpose for which we're chosen? It's not about me saying, oh, thank you, Lord, that you've chosen me. Isn't that wonderful? I'm so privileged. It's a case of, thank you, Lord, that you've chosen me. Help me to get on with what you've chosen me to do. We are a holy nation. This is so important. It's so important because I am not... Listen, like it when I write down English on forms. She says, you're not English, you're British. You know, UK-ish. First and foremost, I'm a subject of God's kingdom. That's who I am. That's who you are. That's who we are. We are subjects of God's kingdom. There's no room for racism amongst God's people. There is no room for prejudice. Those barriers are down. We shouldn't see each other first by our nationalities. We should see each other by who we are in God, his children, his subjects, his priests, and we should live up to it. You are a chosen people, a holy nation, God's special possession. And here's a purpose in it, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, this is a phrase that can make us think. Peter's not just writing to Jews here, he's writing to Gentiles as well. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. I just love that one. You are the people of God. Now, in the Old Testament, as we call it, it was the Jewish people, the Hebrews, who were the children of God. But under Jesus, we are children of God with Israel, believers in Israel. That means that we are together the new people of God. We sometimes use that phrase here. We are the new people of God, and that's who Peter is writing to. The new people of God. Just get it, that's who we are. Once you'd not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Our citizenship is in heaven, says Paul, when he writes to the Philippians. So, having said who we are and implied what that means about living up to it, he really gets stuck, does Peter, into writing about how we live up to it. And we don't get so many pictures in the following chapters that show who we are. It's all about living up to it as living stones, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, as priests, as a priesthood, as a holy nation, as the people of God, the new people of God. So, he says, and this is pure how to live up to it. I urge you as foreigners and exiles, not just foreigners and exiles, as he writes to these guys, because you've gone out from Jerusalem or wherever they've gone out from into exile, but all of us, because we're living in exile, we're children of God's kingdom, and we're in exile all over the world. I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires. You know, think of yourself as foreign to this stuff that goes on, that is not of God. And he says so simply, it's just so simply put, live such good lives, live such good lives, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God. I love it. Living up to who we are permeates everything. It permeates work. It permeates social life. It permeates marriage. It affects the way that we respond to persecution. It affects the way that we respond to all sorts of suffering. It affects the way that we respond to opposition. It affects the way that we respond to wrongful accusations. It affects the way that we respond to all hardships. It affects our use of money. It affects our attitude to all material things. It affects our attitude to what we read. It affects our attitude to what we watch, to our conversations, to our participation in social media stuff, to the clothes that we wear, to the food that we eat, and of course, it affects our church life in all sorts of ways. And I just want to finish with this from Peter. It's just beautiful. It's chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. Above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. God's word to you, to us. Know who you are and live up to it.